You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I spoke to Ricardo Menendez, Auckland Action Against Poverty Coordinator, about how income levels for beneficiaries have not kept up with rising living costs. So I started by asking him what changes we have seen in living costs recently.
Well, the latest Statistics New Zealand report showcases that the living costs for people on the benefit and Māori have gone up quite disproportionately compared to the rest of the population, and particularly with those the highest spending power, which for us signals that the gap between sort of the rich and the poor continues to grow as income levels stagnate and the cost of living continues rising.
So why do you think that we've seen higher rises in living costs for beneficiaries compared to non-beneficiaries?
Well, I mean, some of the other things that Stats New Zealand has reported on, which we've seen on the ground at Auckland Action Against Poverty, is that the cost of rent has been what's eating the largest proportion of people's income. So as we continue seeing the cost of accommodation rising for people and income levels stagnating, it is no surprise to us that those on lowest income are spending a really high proportion of their income on rent. And then if you compound things like increase in the cost of food and petrol and other items, then that really adds up. So we're not really seeing wages or benefit levels rising fast enough to match those increases.
Okay, so kind of a big question here, but how do you think that we end up in a situation where the tax system burdens lower income New Zealanders disproportionately?
Well, I think it comes from an ideology that one of the ways to curb behavior and the consumption of items that are bad for health is to make them more expensive. So, for example, one of the things that the report highlighted was that the tax on tobacco prices was burdening beneficiaries the most. But at the end of the day, that the rate of smoking for low-income and Māori communities hasn't really gone down, and the gap between the proportion of people smoking in those populations continues to be disproportionately higher, which to us it shows that ultimately, you know, we need to start shifting our approach to things like smoking and or unhealthy food rather than burdening users, actually maybe making healthier food and healthier options more affordable rather than punishing bad behavior.
So what do you think the government should do to make tax less burdensome for those on lower incomes? Again, quite a big question.
Yeah, well, look, I think there's many things the government could be doing. One of them is reducing things like GST tax on things like fruits and vegetables, which is something that other parts of the world have already done. So that would mean that rather than making things like fizzy drinks more expensive, it's actually making healthier food cheaper. And ultimately, they could also be introducing taxes to help fund healthcare or smoke-free initiatives that are progressive that we currently don't have. I mean, the capital gains tax was an example, but there's others such as a wealth tax, a tax on land banking, and other forms of taxes that ordinary citizens wouldn't really be affected. Only, you know, the very, very few wealthy people would be paying a little bit more than they do right now.
And so what are you hoping will be the outcome of the Welfare Expert Advisory Group?
Well, it's hard to tell since we haven't been given any indication of what's in the report, but we have hopes that we're finally going to start seeing the government acknowledging that benefit sanctions are not working. We know the government has already committed to doing something on sanctions on sole parents, but we're hoping that there will be an acknowledgement that benefit levels are far below the poverty line and they need a rapid shift. Whether we'll see any changes in the budget, I guess this year we'll find out tomorrow when it comes out.
And finally, do you have any additional comments that you'd like to make?
Well, just that, I guess, with the capital gains tax out of the picture, the Labour-led government is now left with a choice as to whether they're going to continue with our tax system, which clearly is putting undue burden on the poor, or whether we're going to be brave enough to start changing the way we do tax so that we stop putting our most vulnerable in hardship.
Can I just quickly ask you, why do you think they got rid of the capital gains tax?
Look, I think after years of campaigning for capital gains tax and now being in government, particularly the Labour Party had an option of publicly helping shift the discourse around the capital gains, and they remained quite silent as the decision was coming into place and left the discussion to be dominated by property speculators and the National Party. So it is no surprise that when push came shove, New Zealand First held too much power in the decision-making, making the Greens and Labour in a position where they couldn't push it through the line. So it was a lack of campaigning by the Labour and the Greens, I would say, in the lead up to the decision.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.